The Bible says that faith is something that we engage our minds in. Many people today believe that if you believe in the Bible, you've left reason behind. And the scientific world actually tries to tell us that you can't believe the Bible and science. They don't overlap. That's what the world is telling us. And so their understanding of faith is it's just a blind leap into some black hole. But that's, friends, not what the Bible speaks of faith. The Bible also doesn't say that faith is devotion to some particular religion. As if devotion means that we have faith. Perhaps a third thing that faith is not, which is more prevalent in the churches, is that we think of faith as a set of beliefs. People say, "What is your faith?" In other words, what they are meaning is, what do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Is that your faith? Do you believe that Allah is the way? Is that your faith? Friends, just because I know something doesn't mean that I have faith in it. So saying that, what is your faith? Saying that I have faith doesn't mean anything, actually. And it's not a biblical understanding of faith. And last, and perhaps is the biggest misunderstanding that we have of faith today, is that faith equals God's blessing. You might have heard this said in different churches across the country, even in our own town, that if you have more faith, God will bless you more. You've just got to have faith, and then you will see God's blessing on your life. It's especially common in the health and wealth prosperity movements within Christianity. You are blessed if you have a strong faith. You are not blessed if you don't have a strong faith. Now, yes, we need to understand that God does bless those who have faith in Him. But our faith must never be wrapped up in what we can get out of God. Our faith is not determined on, oh, well, I'm going to have faith in God because He's going to give me more wealth or better possessions or make me more popular. Our faith should never be wrapped up in that. So, if that's what faith is not devotion, faith is not leaping blindly into the dark, faith is not just a set of beliefs, and faith is not the idea that the more faith I have, the more God will bless me. What is biblical faith? And I think a great passage that we can turn to, and there are a number of passages that we can turn to, but I think the best passage that we can turn to is this one before us, Hebrews chapter 11. So by way of starting off, I want to give us a definition of what I believe is biblical faith. Biblical faith can be defined as orientating our lives to God and His values in any given situation, so that God will eventually say of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You want me to say that again? Biblical faith can be defined as orientating our lives to God and His values in any given situation, so that God will say of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's unpack that statement, because I believe that's what Hebrews 11:1-3 is actually saying to us. So, what is true faith? And my second comment and my first description of what true faith is, faith takes God at His word. Verse 1. Have a look there, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. The writer of Hebrews says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." What is the writer trying to tell us there? Well, remember that the writer of Hebrews is writing with an understanding that we know a lot about what the Bible has already told us. Hebrews was written quite late on in the writing of the Bible. And so, generally, the writer of Hebrews assumes that we have a fairly good understanding of what the rest of the Bible has to say. And so as he describes faith and defines faith for us here of being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, he's pulling on the promises that God has given to us in the rest of the Bible. Some of the promises relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. One such promise is that Jesus will return one day to judge the world, to judge the wicked, to judge the righteous, the living and the dead. Jesus also made the promise, which we actually saw in our Bible studies this week as we looked at Joshua, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So faith, at its root definition, is trusting that what God has said, He will do. Now, again, that's not blind faith. Because we're not just saying, oh, God has said this, therefore I must do this. We're saying God has said this, and we know that when He says something, it happens. So it carries with the idea that we are hoping for things in the future that we know for certain are going to take place. Again, coming back to the cricket, we've got a hard day's work to do today, haven't we? To ensure that we win the test. We hope they will. But that's a hope of a bit of doubt mixed in that as well, isn't there? But the hope that we see here in Hebrews chapter 1 is an absolutely certain hope. Some other translations of the Bible use the word assurance or certain. Not just some fanciful hoping idea, oh, I hope I get good marks at the end of matric. I mean, that might not be a fanciful idea for you, but it's something that you wish would work. It's a definite thing that will definitely take place. Sure, we are sure of what we hope for. Why can we say we are sure of what we hope for? Well, because we know who God is. We know that when God speaks, His words come true. Just have a look through the rest of the Bible. God has spoken many, many promises. Not all of them have come true yet or have been fulfilled yet, but a lot of them have. And so part of our faith is wrapped up in the assurance that God's word is true. And so faith takes God at His word, especially for the future. But faith also doesn't just take God at His word for the future. Faith takes God's word for the present as well. The whole of chapter 11 lists us a whole lot of people, and we'll go through them over the next few weeks. A whole lot of people that trusted God. They trusted God for their future, but as we shall see, they also trusted God in the present, in the moment that they were living. You see, we have faith that is sure of what we hope for, the future, and certain of what we do not see. certain in the present of what we do not see. And what don't we see in the present? Well, that's necessary. God standing next to us, walking with us each step of the way. I'm sure you've all seen that little poem. I think it's called Footprints. Some of you might have it stuck on the fridge, on a fridge magnet, or on a poster somewhere in your home. And it speaks about the whole idea that there's two sets of footprints walking down the beach. And the one set is you, and the other set is Jesus. And then suddenly there's only one set of footprints. And the writer of the poem says something along the lines of that time when there was only one set of footprints, why, God, did you leave me? Why, God, did you drop me in that difficult time? And the writer answers in the poem and says, no, I didn't leave you. That is when I, the Lord Jesus, was carrying you. Now, we don't always see that, do we? But God has promised that He will be there for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Raymond Brown, who's written an amazing commentary on Hebrews, says we do not look simply at our circumstances. We discern the activity of the invisible God in our present situation and are able to endure. In my short life, I have witnessed the power of God in my life. Not always at the time, but when I look back, I can see, you know what? God had a hand in that. He was there with me, guiding me. Yes, life wasn't always fair. Life wasn't always easy. But as I look back on my life, I can say, that is where God helped me. There, He was with me. Here, He carried me. That is the invisible working of God. That means we can be certain of what we do not see. Friends, that's part of what faith is. Looking to the future, knowing that God's promises will come true, and trusting Him in the present as we go through the struggles and difficulties of this world. So it means that if something is stolen from us, it's not the end of the world. It means if a certain figure, we've got elections later this year, if a certain figure gets into power, hey, I trust in Jesus. It means with the controversial land invasions, or other issues that are taking place in our country, we look at them not in light of how the world sees them, but in light of how God views it, remembering that God owns all and rules all. Faith like this in God can bring clarity to our suffering, even though we are still suffering. But faith is more than just taking God at His word, and that's very important. Faith is also, and secondly, in my third comment, just to confuse you all, faith wins God's approval. Now let me just make a comment here, because you might take offense to that title, faith wins God's approval. So Dion, are you saying that if I have faith in God, then God blesses me? No, I'm not saying that. God does bless us when we trust in Him, but not always here and now. What I'm trying to say here is that when we follow Jesus with our lives, when we accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we seek God's approval. How many of the people here in Hebrews 11, and just have a look at verse 6 of Hebrews 11. We're going to look at this again next week, but just look very briefly with me at verse 6. Without faith, the writer says, it is impossible to please God. In other words, faith leads to God's approval of us. We please God when we have faith in him. James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 18, you might know the verse already. James says to those in the church, show me your faith without deeds. In other words, show me your belief in Jesus by not doing something. And James says, I will show you my faith how? By what I do. Friends, if we claim to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and never do anything for the Lord, what kind of faith do we have? If we claim to have faith in Jesus and only ever expect Him to smooth the way before us, what kind of faith do we have? And perhaps on the opposite side of the coin, if we always are doing good but do not have faith, well then, that is nothing. It's useless. You see, what the writer of Hebrews is showing us here is that faith equals action. We can't just be a Sunday Christian. We can't just come to church on a Sunday and say, I have faith in Jesus, and then go out there during the week and do nothing for Him. Look at what the ancients did. Verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. They were commended for the very fact that they took God at His word and acted upon it. Last year we were looking at the story of Abraham. Abraham knew who God was. God said to Abraham, go into a land I will show you. And Abraham went off trusting God. And yes, it was hard. 25 years elapsed before God began to fulfill His promise to Abraham. 25 hard years where Abraham tried to take things into his own hands as well. But remember the comment that God makes of Abraham? His faith was credited as righteousness. Get the same with the story of Noah. Noah took God at His word and built an ark, even though there had been no rain on earth. And Noah was credited to God as righteous. Why? Because he had faith in God, he took God at His word, and he acted on it. And you can take any number of other characters in the Bible of how they believe God, they have faith in God, they take God at His word, and they act upon it. Taking God at His word means we win God's approval. The writer of Hebrews carries on in chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. My last comment this morning, and the third element of what true faith is: faith accepts God's power. Andrew tells me that at university, scientists are slowly coming round to the fact that evolution is not the way that the earth was formed. There is little evidence today of evolution forming new creatures. In fact, there's no evidence of evolution forming new creatures. Adapted creatures, yes, but not new creatures. More and more astronomers, scientists, physicists, and, well, you fill in the blanks, are realizing that there must be some form of creator. They're also beginning to realize these days Then when it comes to the various laws of science, you know those laws that never change, like gravity and other things, that people are realizing that there must be a sustainer of the world, someone that keeps these laws going. But friends, as Christians, when we have faith in God, we take God at His word, and we recognize that His word has power. Verse 3 of Hebrews 11. By faith, in other words, by taking God at His word and by acting on it, we understand that the universe was formed by or at God's command. Some translations say, by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. There's always that little story that goes on of the scientist that brags to God, "Look, God, I created this being, this human, out of a chunk of mud." And God says, "Well, very clever, well done to you. But whose mud did you use?" He says, go make your own mud first. Don't use mine. Because that's what God did. God took nothing and made everything. That is the power of God. He spoke and things came into being. John speaks about that. God spoke and the word and the world came into being. Genesis 1 tells us God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? There was light. God said, "Let the plants grow on the land." And what happened? Plants grew on the land. God's word is powerful. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command and that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Have you ever been down to the beach in stormy weather? You ever watched the waves crashing against the rocks? Maybe you've seen waves destroying things. Maybe you've watched the rain as it comes down horizontally. Or the wind. Or the river. God's power is bigger and stronger than that. What about world leaders? World leaders think they have unlimited power. We think of the leader, and I forget the name now, but of North Korea. He thinks he's got absolute ultimate power. But you know what, friends? God is more powerful than that. The president of the United States thinks he is the global leader in everything. You know what, friends? God's power is more. Bigger, unlimited. And we'll see this in the next few weeks as we continue to look at this list of faithful witnesses to God. Christians, we are to have faith in God. Not a lackadaisical faith, "Oh, I believe this." But a faith that leads to action. How do we know that we have faith? Because of how we respond to God. Do we seek God's blessing on our life? Do we seek God's power? Do we take God at His word? This means, friends, that regardless of our wealth, or our background, or our education, or our race, or whatever it is that separates us, regardless of that, if we take God at His word, we have faith in Him. So friends, faith is not blind. Faith is not just devotion or knowledge or tied in with blessing. Faith in the Lord is orientating our lives to God and His values in each and every situation we find ourselves in, so that God will say of us one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Don't miss out the next three talks as we now have a look at what it means, the practical applications, if you like, of what it means to have faith in God as we continue to look at the rest of chapter 11. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we wrap our time up together this morning, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that you have given us. The promises that you have given us, Lord. Lord, help us to trust you and to know that we can be sure of what we've hoped for and certain of what we do not see. And so, Lord, let us live our lives of faith with action. Let's understand your amazing power that when you speak, things come into being. So, Lord, help us to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.